When I first started to be part of a church group when I was in my early teens, like 12, 13 years old, my mom told me about this thing called tithing. And I was like, what's that? She's like, well, you're supposed to, you know, love God with your money. And then I was like, okay. I was like, what do I do? She's like, well, you take 10%. That's what I tithe. You take 10% of that, and then you give it to your local church who's, you know, loving people in the community, talking about Jesus and using it to build people up and encourage them. And I was like, okay. So my first jobs, I was a lawnmower. Anybody else mow lawns for their first jobs? Oh, a bunch of people, yeah, okay. So you know what? You push the lawnmower, you get some cash. Then how many of y'all worked in the restaurant industry? Oh man, a lot of people, okay. Yeah, so in college, worked at a restaurant, you know, you get tips. And I remember sitting on Sunday morning in our church gathering, and this is back in the day, they used to pass those things called offering plates, like pre-COVID. And I remember sitting there, and I felt like the Holy Spirit was like, hey, give all the money you have, put in the offering plate. And I was like, are you talking to the person behind me? Like, who are you talking to? Because what I had my big wad of cash from serving that last night on Saturday night. So I had all this money, like 70, 80 bucks sometimes. And this is like, you know, 10 years ago. That's a bit more money today, right? And I'm like, you want me to put this in the offering plate? And I felt like the Spirit, I was like, yes. And I was like, okay. So when the offering plate came by, I just dropped that whole wad of cash in there. And I just watched it go. And you know what? That didn't happen just one time. It happened multiple times. And I found that God was testing me of, will you love me with your money? And will you trust me to provide for you? So again, this is more than a few years ago. But when I went to college, my whole college career cost me $80,000. So $80,000. Today it's a little bit more. Y'all in college, y'all know in grad school and stuff, that's like a lot more than it is back then. And do you know how much I paid for my college and loans? Close to zero. I took out a $2,400 loan my first semester because that's the most I could take out without it having any interest on it while I was in college. And that was the only loan I took out. And it was crazy because every semester God would provide this scholarship that would come through, or someone would say, hey, I want to support you in your school, or I'd pick up all these shifts that summer to earn as much money as I could to pay for like the next semester. And it was so cool that like God said, hey, trust me by giving and sowing into my kingdom financially, and I'm going to work out everything for you. And so God taught me early on, like, if you love me with your money, I got your back. I'll take care of you. And so God had to teach me through, I think they were tests. Like, God would test me along the way and see what I would do and how I would respond to him. And our heart here at Enrich is to be generous. Like, we love being a generous church. And if you weren't here last week, We went this with the kids too, to try and teach them how to be generous. Meredith shared about how our family is generous with our own finances personally. And then we gave all the kids present $5 bills. And you know, when you're a kid and you're like 6 or 7 years old, you're like, $5. So we just want to teach them, like, oh, even as a kid, like, you can be generous. Like, you can receive generosity and you can go and be generous with other people. So let's jump into Malachi here and we'll work our way through these verses. We're going to look at verses 6 and 7. So it says, I am the Lord, I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me and I'll return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But you ask, how can we return to you if we've never gone away? Man, don't you love God? Because he leads with who he is. He says, I don't change. He says, this is my character. This is who I am. I'm going to reveal myself to you so that everything I'm going to say to you, you know, like, I'm the same I was years ago. I'm the same right now. I'm the same in the years in the future. We were talking earlier, like, how many of y'all had a friend when you show up with them, you don't know who you're going to get? You're like, is he my crazy friend today? My stable friend? Like, some people are pointing to other people here. Yeah, right. But God is consistent. So when you show up with Jesus, he's going to be consistent with you. So he's going to be consistent when he confronts you, right? And that's what he's doing here. But he leads with who he is. And he's merciful. He's not giving people what they deserve. So God is merciful. And in this text, we can see that there's an aspect of disobedience. Because they failed to obey God. They blew off God's ways. Now let's be honest. How many of you in your life have ever just blown off God? Like, I've done it. I'm raising my own hand. Right? We've all blown off God in certain ways. And so then God, at times, he'll confront us. But did you notice this? He not only confronted them, but he confronted their ancestors. So he says, hey, y'all been cheating me. You got this generational pattern of sin. And he says, what are you going to do about this generational pattern? Now, how many of you, when you look at your mom and your dad and your grandparents and your great-grandparents, you see like similar traits? Some of them are good traits, some of them are not so good traits, right? Yeah, and we were talking to my group over here, like, there's some traits in my family line of really negative patterns of sin that were going down my family line from generation to generation to generation. And then I was finally the one that said, I'm going to end this. And so I ended it, and I confronted it, and I confronted it with my family. And then there's been a shift that's taking place. So God's calling out this generational sin, specifically with their money, and he calls them to repentance. He says, hey, return to me, and I'll return to you. And people sometimes feel like, oh man, God is just like coming after me, and he's telling me to do these things this way and all this. But if you look at it from Genesis chapter, you know, the first chapters, 1 and 2, all the way through Revelation, it's all about relationship with him. It's all about relationship. Because how many of y'all have friends or you work with people and it's all transaction? They just like trying to just get it done with you, just, you know, fact oriented. It's more about just doing it rather than being in a relationship. Man, you can feel it with people. I see some faces. Yeah, you can feel it. And you're like, man, you actually don't care about me. You just want to get something out of me to benefit yourself. But that's not who God is. That's not who Jesus is. He says, this is about relationship. This is about us having a heart-to-heart connection. And so since God already initiated, we're the ones that have to respond. So he's beginning to speak about money. And so last week we talked about generosity from Matthew chapter 6. And Meredith and I, you know, we're sharing stories from our lives to share with you like how we're generous. And I think it's helpful to hear stories. And Rick and Sandra shared a bunch of stories for Jesus at Work. Because when you hear how other people are living it out, you're like, oh, I can do that too. Or it's a model or example where I can begin to implement that. So we have the 40-day Daniel fast coming up as a church, or 21-day Daniel fast, which pick up your folder on the way out. If you're planning to do it, we'll hand them out to everyone. And if we run out, I'll print some more. So we've been doing this type of fast for like 4 or 5 years. So, you know, we got it locked in. And if you read Matthew chapter 6, it says, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. And when you combine all those three together, it brings significant spiritual breakthrough. So when you combine your fasting, your prayer with generosity, I mean, that's where breakthrough happens. So when we learned about that, we're like, we should do it, right? So Jesus says, do the word. And so we do the word, we obey it. So at the end of our 21 or 40 day Daniel fast that we do at the beginning of the year, we cut into our savings and we give an offering to God. So this is above our 10% tithe, right? And we'll talk more about that. So we go into our savings, and there's this organization called Gospel for Asia. They dig wells throughout India, and now they're in Africa too. And I don't remember the exact number. It's either $1,200 or $1,400. You can sow into the kingdom that way. And they'll dig a well in the middle of India somewhere where there's no water. So people have to walk miles for water, and often the water they get is contaminated. And when they build this well, they call it a Jesus well. And it's put with the missionaries, the national missionaries in that community. So they use that, the source of the well, to talk about Jesus as living water. And so it's a practical way to meet needs of community to get water. Because you think about us, right? We could go flip on the faucet. We could go over here to this water fountain. I mean, our water is stripped down and maybe has some contaminants, but we could drink it. People in India like that, they can't drink their water like most of the time. And when they drink it, they often get really sick. And kids get really sick. Their kids die. It's like a mess. And so what we love to do is end of our fast, we love to sow in, to have a well be drilled in India for this community. And Jesus meets the practical needs of people with water. And then through that well, people come to know who he is. And so we dig into our own savings. And this is our savings, right? And so we're like, okay, Jesus, we're going to trust you because we're cutting into our savings to sow into your kingdom. And guess what always happens? He always replenishes it. I don't know how. It just comes to us in these different ways. And like, you know, we calculate our net worth at the beginning of every month. So your net worth is how many assets do you have versus your liabilities, and you subtract them out. It shows your net worth. And it's crazy to watch our finances throughout the year, because God always comes through when we put him first with our finances. So it's pretty amazing. So we give an offering to Jesus in that way. So let's go deeper in what God's saying about finances here in verses 8 and 9. He says, should people cheat God, yet you have cheated me? But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You cheated me on tithes and offerings due to me. You're under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes in the storehouse so there'll be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I'll open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it and put me to the test. All right, how many of y'all, this is real. How many of y'all have been cheated on before? Like either relationship or financially or like how do you feel when you get cheated on? Like, what do you want to do to the other person? If you're honest, like in your flesh, right? What do you want to do? You want to take revenge and you want to take them down. And so God's been saying, hey, you've been cheating on me. And so people have been cheating on God. And it's interesting because God says, you've been cheating on me financially. And most people are like, what? How? And that's what they said. They're like, how have we been cheating on you financially, God? Like, what's this about? And so he's going after their disobedience with money. Because here's the thing. Jesus cares about every area of your life. He cares about your physical health. He cares about your spiritual health, your emotional health, your sexual health, your relational health. Like, he cares about you holistically, and he cares about your financial health. So if you read scripture, he wants you to be holistically healthy, and he wants you to be healthy in your finances. And so he talks about two things here. He talks about the tithe and the offering. So if you nerd out and you look out in the Hebrew, like, what is a tithe? It literally means a tenth part, so 10%. So a tithe is 10%. So let's say you're making the big bucks and you're making $100 and then you take a tenth of that, that's $10. Yeah, I heard some math people over here, like $10, right? So God says, hey, of that $100 you make, 10 of that dollars, sow back into my temple so that there's food in my temple and people can come worship in my temple. And then the offerings is above and beyond your 10%, right? So if you hit 11%, that 1% then becomes an offering. So when I'm talking about the offering of the well we sow into, that's above and beyond our 10%. We actually dip into our savings to sow into that way. And did you notice that God in this, he says, do to me. God says, hey, this is an expectation that you, the money that I give you, which isn't your money, that's what Rick and Sandra are saying, it's not even our money anyways. He entrusts it to us. And he says, this is due to me. So God wants our money submitted to him, just like every other area of our life. God wants every area of our life submitted to him, even our money. And again, it's all about a matter of the heart. Because if we're real with ourselves, like our money, or really our heart determines our money. And where our heart is where our money will go. And if y'all saw us, this is super scary. Verse 9. So because of this, they actually fell under a curse. Not just them, but their whole nation was under a curse because they weren't honoring God with their money. And this is, curses come, especially like this, through prolonged disobedience. So prolonged disobedience can develop a curse, and it can happen generationally. But do you know how you break a financial curse on your life? It's actually super simple. It's through generosity. So if you have a financial curse on your life, it's probably because you've been hoarding things and not releasing what God has asked you to release. But when you begin to release with generosity, that curse breaks, and guess what comes in its place? Blessing. God begins to release blessing. One of the things that we do with our kids, so if you talk with them, if they do their chores, they get paid. If they don't do their chores, they don't get paid. So when we do payday, we sit down and they get paid, I think like $2 a week is where they're at now for the different chores they do. And the first thing we do, we say, hey, what do we do? First thing, they say, we love God with our money, or we give, or we be generous, where they use different phrases. So they always put, and it's actually more than 10% the way we do it, but they put a quarter in their tithe envelope. What's the second thing we do? We invest. This is what Rick was saying earlier. What happens if you make good investments? Your money grows. What happens if you make bad investments? You lose your money, right? It doesn't grow. So my kids are learning at ages 5 and 8 how to make investments. They literally are on my Robinhood app, and they're choosing their stocks. We talk through it. They're putting it in, and they're swiping it. Can you imagine if someone taught you how to invest at ages 5 and 8? Like, you'd be a millionaire by age 30 if you like locked in your finance. I'm being serious. So we teach them that, and then we teach them to save. And you save for things that you need and things that you want. So these are some simple things we're teaching our kids. And from the beginning, we're teaching them to be generous with their money, be generous towards Jesus with your money. And I shared last week too, our family personally, So we use an Excel sheet, so it calculates everything. It's like super helpful for us. I know people use apps. Some people like handwrite their budgets. George over here. So yeah, you do what works for you, right? And so what it does when we get paid, it shows our tithe amount. So we tithe to Jesus. So we tithe to our local church. We've been doing that, like Rick and Sandra, from the beginning of our marriage. Whatever local church we were part of, we were tithing in. So 10% of our finances. Then we actually, we have a special giving category that we have an amount in there. It's like throughout the month, as opportunities present themselves to be generous with others, like we're generous with what presents itself. Sometimes it's like a homeless person we see and we're like, hey, do you want us to buy you a meal? Yeah, that meal for the homeless person comes out of our special giving. And then we have another one, it's our offering section. So we have sponsored children through Compassion and World Vision. There's some missionary organizations that we support, national missionaries in India as well that are out doing things. And so I calculated our total giving per month is at 20%. So we didn't start there, we started at 10% and then we sponsored some sponsored children and then we began up our giving 1% a year. Which was hard because that means we had to cut out some other things if we didn't get raises. Won't name the organization that wasn't getting raises for a long time, but we weren't getting raises. And so Rick's laughing. And so then it's like, oh, we had to cut back on this area to be able to increase our giving. And so we're like, we've learned that when we sacrifice for God's kingdom financially, dude, God blows us away and he shows up. Because you know what's crazy? You know the SUV that we unpack and pack every week for church at the park? That was donated to us. It was given. And we had no idea, we weren't even gonna be at the park yet, but we had no idea that we were gonna need that. And God came through for us. And it was super amazing. And so God always provides a way forward. He always gives us the opportunity to repent, which is to redirect our own ways towards God's ways. And so when you tithe, it's God's intended purposes with our money. Now, how many of y'all exercise? How many of y'all working on it? I love it. Yeah. How many of y'all like to exercise? Oh, handful. How many of y'all do it because you know it's good for you? Right. Okay. Like everyone else. Phoebe. Yeah. Right. So yeah, I'm thinking long term because I want to be a fit and healthy at 85 because that was Caleb and Joshua. I think it was 14. Right. So he was fit and healthy all the way to 85. That's my goal. So just like you have physical fitness with your body, when you're generous with your finances, it's like health for your finances. So when you're physically fit, it's also like brushing your teeth, right? You're brushing your teeth, what you hope you do is your baseline, right? So that's your, some people are like, oh no, kind of depends when you have time. All right, so your baseline is your tithe, right? That's like brushing your teeth. But how many of y'all floss your teeth every day? Most of you, how many of y'all floss them twice a day? Okay, that's pretty good. So offerings is like flossing your teeth pretty much. It's like going above and beyond and locking it in. Because then you know when you got good health in your mouth, it actually affects your bloodstream and all that. There's a whole bunch of nerdy stuff I learned from my dentist. So, yeah. Yeah, so in these ways, God has created these principles in life that when you live into them, it brings his prosperity. And so I know people are like, oh, you're saying prosperity. Yeah, Jesus wants you to prosper. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes so you can have fullness of life. He wants you to prosper. It doesn't mean you're not going to suffer, because he says, hey, take up your cross and carry me. Deny yourself. So following Jesus is about suffering, but in your suffering, you actually learn obedience. That's, it says Jesus learned obedience through his suffering. And when you suffer and you're obedient to the Father, you get to know his love so much more. And that is completely against the world system, because the world system says escape from suffering. But Jesus says when you embrace it, you know his love, because he suffered on our behalf so we can know his love through the cross for us. And so he says when you bring in your tithe, it's to fund the temple, to fund the place of worship that was going on there. And did you notice this if-then statement? He says, if you do this, then this will happen. And that's here. He says, bring the tithe in. If you do, I'm going to read this because it's that important. I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great, you won't have enough room to take it in. Try me and put me to the test. So God says, when you honor him with your money, when you love him with your money, he's going to open up such a window in your life. He's going to pour out blessing and he's going to release that for you. But remember, this is not transactional. All right, this is a confession moment. How many of y'all bought a lottery ticket before? Or a scratcher? Some people know. I bought some. You know you're going for more money, right? You put the money in and you're hoping to scratch it to get more money. God's not a lottery ticket. I mean, that's what it comes down to. He is a relational being. He's a person. What's that?
Give it to God.
There you go. Yeah. And so then it's like about relationship. So it's like God wants to sit down with you face to face. Because when you have a relationship with someone and they give you a gift, what does it do to your relationship often? I see the thumb going up. It strengthens your relationship with that person. Like last week, and this was cool. This was even planned. We talked about generosity last week. And I go over here on the street and Tim is giving some drum equipment to George. And you just seen George's face. His face was like lighting up. He was so happy. And Tim just gifted it to him. Right? And my guess is, I think so. Their relationship probably strengthened. Their friendship probably strengthened from that. And so when you give a gift to someone, it strengthens relationship with them. So remember, God's not transactional in nature. And our relationship is rooted in love and obedience with Him. And money is one of those areas. Did you notice that God says, test me? This is the only place in scripture where God says, test me, that I can find. Because remember when Jesus and Satan are in the desert, Jesus says, don't put your Lord God to the test. Right? He quotes scripture. But God here says, test me. And this is why I think He says, test me. Money is one of the biggest holds on humanity across all cultures, all countries of all times. I think it's money. And Jesus says, you cannot worship both God and money, mammon, Matthew 6:24. And He uses the actual word mammon. Do you know what that is in the Greek? It actually is a god. It's the god of wealth. It's the god of money. So you can't worship the god of money and Jesus at the same time. You have to choose one or the other. And this is what I've learned about money for my like personal journey. It's about control versus trust and selfishness versus sacrifice. Because control and selfishness are of the flesh and they're going to be of the world system. But trust and sacrifice, I mean, did you say Jesus? That's who He was. That's what He lived. It was His essence of His being. And so what happens when you love God with your money? Did you see that? It says, your crops will be abundant, and I'll guard them from insects and disease, and your grapes won't fall from the vine. It means His grace, His protection is going to come on your assets. Now, this doesn't mean life's always going to go according to plan. Like, just because you do this, it doesn't mean you do this, God will do this. That God's not transactional. But when you go through it, you're going to have the promises of God when you go through it. And He's going to continue to stand with you and be with you. And instead of curse, you'll have blessing on your life. And this is what I've learned for me. Like, this is what it really comes down to. Like, I had to come to a point where God confronted me and I really had to surrender my finances to Him. Well, I had to surrender His finances to Him, right? I had to learn, like, first, the money I have isn't my own. Like, you've entrusted it to me. It's like I'm a steward of your money. And so I have to surrender to you and then do what you want with your money. Right? And so that means, like, just as you pray about, I know a lot of us pray about our jobs, right? God wants us to pray about our money. Like, God, how do you want me to use, I'll just say mine because He gives it to us, right? My money, but it's yours, right? And you understand you're a steward. How do you want me to use the money you've given me? So that means, like, if there's things I want to purchase, but God says no, then it's yes, Lord. But if He says, like, go do this, so like the other day, this is super fun. One of the things I've been doing with Anna this year is he likes puzzles. And so I'm growing in my love for puzzles, doing them with him. And we went puzzle hunting. So we went to local thrift stores and we found all these puzzles. We spent $17 on puzzles and they were all brand new, sealed. And it was like $100 worth of puzzles. I was like, Ander, we're never buying puzzles off Amazon or any other place again. We're getting them used, new, for like $2 a piece or seven. We got this puzzle that was $5 sealed and it's $35 on Amazon. And I'm like, dude, this is crazy. But I felt in my heart I had release to spend $17 on these puzzles for Him, right? And for us in this season, we just have to be really aware with where we're at. But I felt grace. Yeah, invest in your son in this because this is building your relationship. I've done more puzzles this week with him than I've done probably in years. But you know what it's doing? It's building relationship. My son is going to remember this his whole life. Daddy took time to get on the floor with me and do puzzles. So remember how I said God's not transactional, He's relational? Money builds relationship. Money builds relationship with people. So when you're generous with people, with your money or with your possessions, whatever, with your time, Like, that builds relationship. That's why I love spending time with everyone so much. It's because it's all about relationship. Because then when life hits the fan, you know who you can turn to? Your friend who's been with you for that long time anyways. Because we're all going to go through it. Like, stuff's going to happen. You're going to end up in the hospital. Like, something's going to break down. Like, you're going to be in need. And you don't want to be alone. And so when you have relationships built, then you have people you can turn to. Because Jesus even says, like, use your money on the earth to make friends with people. Like, that's people who are shrewd. That's people the world do. He's like, do the same thing. So I've learned that money for me is a heart issue. And I would say this. Money used to control my heart. Like, it used to control me. And then when I went through my process of surrendering money simply became a tool for me for his kingdom. So money is simply a tool to accomplish something for what God wants to do in our lives. Because how many of y'all got to pay for rent or your mortgage? Like, everyone, right? You got utilities, you got food. So God gives you this money to meet your basic needs. And then when you meet your basic needs, you have some of your wants that God might give you permission then to, like, spend on your wants. And then he says, you know, we talk about saving and investing, super important for long term. And then most of us will have a surplus of some kind. And then it's like, how do you be generous with those things in your life too? How do you be generous? So talking about Enriched Church, and Rick and Sandra said this so well about, you know, sowing into organizations in the kingdom. So with Enriched Church, we took about a year prior when we started up. We're like, God, how do you want us to do this financially? Like, how do you want us to do this so we could be sustainable? So we had a three-pronged approach. We felt like we were supposed to raise funds from churches and organizations to help us get off the ground. That Meredith and I raised missionary support from friends and family and network to help us get going. And we got one of those over here, Ethan. He's on support too, Ethan Jen. Yeah, as missionaries. And then the third part is Enriched Church. What we raise as a church goes into our operational expenses and then begins to fund our church long term. And so we took this three-pronged approach. And what's crazy is it's working. So when you get a vision from God for your life and you get his blueprint and you ask him how to do it, it's going to work. So he'll make a way for you, which is super cool. So we have a goal as a church that by year three, we are self-sustaining financially as a church. So by August 2027, our goal is that we no longer need outside funding resources to fund what we're doing. So part of that is our operational expenses that you need for organizations, and then things that we do for outreach and discipleship and fun events. How many of y'all like those tacos we do every couple months? Yeah. And that's like, we drop like $500 on that whole spread right there. And that's coming from what people are sowing in, because we really want this to be a quality experience for people, to people know that they're loved and cared for and they're supported, and then they can go and do that with other people. And then part of that funding too is to fund my salary so we can, like, pay rent and eat food and do those things. And what we did from the beginning, it was written to our bylaws, is that an independent compensation committee actually set my salary. So I didn't set my salary. They set it for me based upon the factors that they determined. And so they set it. And so then we've been using our missionary support to fund our basic living expenses. And then as Enriched Church continues to grow to maturity and funding increases through our tithes and offerings, then the goal is by year three that we'll be self-sustaining. And what's cool, the big vision of Enrich, and we'll share more about this starting in January with our fast, is even though we're like a smaller park church, we're actually quite a bigger church than what you can see in a way. So we're moving towards what's called a hub church. We're going to be a church of churches. So we're actually going to be one church of a lot of different churches. So we got three different churches here represented today already. And then the idea is that the three of us churches will be one church as friends. And then we're going to plant a lot of other churches. And then we're training weekly. We got, you know, five different planters and pastors in training that are then training their churches how to make disciples. They're going to plant churches. I wrote a year-end report, which if you want, I can give it to you. It's kind of nerdy. It just breaks down like all the high-level like highlights of the year. When we calculated Enriched Church, Hub Church, and our DMM cohorts of people in discipleship, we have 92 people in DMM discipleship. Yeah, as all that we're doing as Enriched Church, we have 92 people in DMM discipleship. Like, that's pretty crazy. That's in our first year, pretty much, of doing that. Can you imagine what year 5 and 10 is going to look like? Like, we're probably going to have thousands of people in discipleship. So in Rich Church, we might hit, like, I don't know, 75 people at the park at one point in our maturity. But the thing is like, we're going to be sending people to plant churches, and they might not ever come back on Sunday morning, like Anthony and Brian, like that. They're here for 2 years, and then they're out. But they're going to be part of our hub church, right, in relationship. And so when you have this model of like, oh man, if we're a sending church and we keep sending planters and teams of people and all that, how do you fund it long term? The answer is faith, right? And it comes from our loving Jesus with our money sowing in, because then we keep pushing it back out. And what's been cool too is God has provided some grants for us as well. And so we got like a $10,000 grant from a seminary, and we're just pumping that back into our discipleship and our training and all these opportunities. Because next year, we've already been invited to do a Healed and Made Whole training at a church. Like, someone already reached out and said, hey, will you come do this at our church? And so we'll be tapping into our team again and say, hey, do you want an opportunity to come train another church in Healed and Made Whole? So even though Enriched Church looks small from the surface, you see this, like, you got this big tree right here. Do you know what the root system looks like? The root system is probably crazy deep, spread out. So Enriched Church is going to be like an upside down mega church, right? So our root system is going to be huge beneath the surface, with probably thousands of people in our discipleship network and probably hundreds of churches at some point. But it might always look like this, you know, might hit like 70 at some point, but it won't ever look big above the surface. But below the surface, we're going to have all this stuff coming out. So I share the big picture of the vision of what God is doing and how our resources are funneled in those different directions with that as well. So I'm going to create a space for us, for you to take a moment and say, okay, Jesus, I'm hearing from your word, you know, some of these stories. I'm going to take a moment and talk with you about my finances. So you, if that's a point of surrender for you or obedience for you, what would that be for you? So take a few minutes and reflect on that prayerfully, and then I'll bring us back in like 2 minutes to wrap us up. And as you reflect and write, you can write down to how are you going to obey the passage this week for yourself? And then who can you share with this week what you learned? A word that's in my heart to share is, I know sometimes with finances it can be scary, but you can totally trust Jesus. Like, you can trust him. You can trust him with every area of your life, including your money. He's always going to come through. And something I think about, man, is end of my life, when I'm whatever age, like, I'll be able to look back and I know Jesus is going to provide food, clothing, shelter. He's going to probably meet some of my wants too along the way. So we can trust him. And this was a while back. My church planning coach, he gave me this this grid here, which we'll pass out. It's like your monthly income, and it has a percent on the top, and your annual income. And it starts at 1%, and it goes across to 10%, 12%, 15%. So I know I'm a visual person sometimes. When I see it, I'm like, okay, it makes sense. So if you're like, man, I'm gonna start, you know, with 1% of giving towards Jesus and his kingdom. Or if you want to say, hey, I'm going to jump into the tithe, the 10%, with what he says here. And then I'm going to start giving offerings too, like sponsoring a child through Compassion or World Vision. Something you can think about. So I'm going to ask Anthony if you could pass these out to everyone. And then that's just a helpful way to help you think about the grid of your money and generosity in the kingdom of God. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we will we'll call it afternoon now. Let me pray for us, and then we'll head out. Jesus, we're so grateful this morning we're getting your word. Thank you that you're consistent, and man, you're not transactional, you're relational, and it's all about the heart with you, connecting with you, and that you love us. And we thank you, Jesus, you provide for us, for our needs, and you see what we need before we ask, and you even meet our wants in really cool, surprising ways. And yeah, we're grateful for you, Jesus. So I pray, Jesus, that as we continue to grow in love for you, in obedience to you, that you would work in our hearts with our finances, to surrender them to you, and find in you with our spouses too, and being in unity in our families, or if we're single, with you in our hearts individually. Jesus, would you show us how you want us to use your money to really encourage people and to bless people, whether it's a homeless person with a meal, whether it's a friend or a family member or a coworker, or sowing into Enrich, or sponsoring a child in a different country who It'll radically change their lives. Jesus, would you show us how to do that? And would we be led by you, by your Spirit? And I ask, Jesus, that everyone who lives into the principles we study, I thank you that we can simply believe your word. You're going to open the storehouses of heaven. You're going to release such blessing that we can't contain it. I declare a release of that blessing over you in Jesus' name. In every area of your life, that he would cause you to prosper and to thrive for his kingdom and for his glory and for the gospel, and that you would get to be a beneficiary of that through God's covenant blessings through Jesus. So I declare blessing over you in Jesus' name. And Jesus, I ask that you would go before us this week, preparing all the people that you want us to encourage, to speak life into, to pray with, to share our Jesus story or the gospel, and to invite them into discipleship with you. Jesus, I ask that you would help all of our college students to finish well this week with finals. Would you give them grace, strength when they sleep, give them super good sleep, that they feel refreshed in the morning. And we pray for those that are going to be transitioning out of college to jobs, that you thank you that you're going to provide for them the right job at the right place. And for those of us that are, you know, on the grind of work and family, Jesus, would it be joy for us? Would it be filled with grace? And would we experience your love in that and share your love with those around us? So thank you, Jesus, for your protection over us. Thank you that you've given us your Spirit. And thank you for your angels that you assigned to us for your kingdom and gospel purposes. In your name, Jesus. Amen.